came to the meeting this week, it wasn't that God didn't put something upon my heart. He did. And so I'm just going to, you might be looking for an outline. I'm more of a line upon line preacher, verse upon verse, book by book. And so God spoke to me about a couple places here. If you found your place in 2 Peter chapter number 1, I'm going to read a few verses. We're going to start in verse number 15. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, and verse number 15, we'll begin our reading. The Bible says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Now, we're getting ready to get an instruction here about what God's left us with, and that being the Word of God. And Peter, even after he's gone, he says, you're going to have it. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." Can I say it's critically important that you and I know whom we believed in? I mean, it is. We live in a day. I mean, you've heard me many times. Those that know me for a while, I always say, you ought to ask. I see Brother Patnall routinely ask questions on Facebook. He already knows the answer. He's asking us the question, just like Jesus would ask the question, to make you think what the answer is in your life. And I think about that, and it says here, we don't follow cunningly devised fables. We have a lot of people in my lifetime. I was listening to the preacher before me. I said, I didn't know 54 looked so good. This past Sunday, I had another birthday, and I departed 54. And I thought, man, he looks good for 54. I'd never thought he was that old, you know. And now I've rolled up another year, and I'm finding out what that feels like, okay? I know it. When's your birthday? In 6 days? He'll tell you. But very important that we understand what God's given us, that it's not make-believe. And like I said, in my lifetime, there's been Jim Joneses, there's been David Koresh's, there's been all kinds of, we used to, when I was just a teenager, they called them the sheep people. I mean, they just traveled around like gypsies and a band of people, and they had their own little religion and everything else. I mean, I've seen a lot of things, and I'm not following cunningly devised make-believe, pretend, pretentious fairy tales. I'm following the truth. "When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of His majesty." Now, Peter's sitting here referring to a situation that took place in his life. A lot of times we think, well, I don't want to just give you my testimony. I tell you what, it's good to have a testimony. And if God's given you a testimony, He's given you that testimony to share. Peter's going to share a testimony here, documented in Scripture, about something he's seen upon a mount we call Mount Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured into the Shekinah glory. In other words, into that glorified body that we're going to have someday. And He beheld that, okay? He said, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, if you go back and read the Scripture, and we're not going to do that, hopefully you're familiar with it. When Jesus went up there, He was transfigured into this glorified body. And I mean, it was an amazing circumstance, situation. But let me say this. Jesus took some key people with Him. He wanted some people who loved Him and who He trusted and who He knew He could trust in the future. Now, a lot of times people, I identify with Peter, okay? If you just want to know where I'm at, I can identify with Peter. A lot of self-will, a lot of just my way, you know what I'm saying? And God will still use me. I mean, I know some of you a whole lot better than me, a whole lot more humbler, a whole lot more kinder and nicer and friendlier and everything else. But let me just say this. God still uses me in my little lot. He'll use Peter. I'm telling you, He said here, and He knew Peter was going to become the leader of the apostles. And He wanted to see some things. But let me say this, beside this thing that he's seen, he said, "This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount." He said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed. In other words, he's saying, Peter's telling us, you and I should take heed of this more sure word of prophecy. Let me say this, if you've got a King James Bible sitting on your lap or beside you this morning or in your hands, you've got a copy of that more sure word. Now let me be real clear on this. I like to illustrate this in case you've seen something on TV or maybe you've been to a big stadium packed out with people and all of a sudden you get one of these fellows up there who's leading the show and he looks up to see and he says, wait a minute, I've got something from the Lord. That fella is a liar. Amen. Do I need to repeat that for anybody? I'd love to repeat those things that are hard to swallow. I really do. Just tell me it's hard to swallow and I'll tell you. That fella is a liar. The Bible tells us there is no private interpretation. Let me be real clear what he's telling us. He's not going to give Brother John anything that he won't give me. He's not going to give you something that he won't give me. We've got men traveling this world over who are famous, who some people who don't study their Bible, don't know what God has given us, act like, oh, he's got a special line to talk to God. Oh, no, no, no. Christians have a Holy Ghost on the inside. I've got a special line, and he's a person, the Holy Ghost abiding within. Amen. Hallelujah. And he speaks on my behalf things that when I don't even know how to pray, he speaks to my Heavenly Father on my behalf. How does he do that? By the person of Jesus Christ, my advocate with the Father. Now we have that as Christians. But we live in a day when people are casting doubt on this good old King James Bible. God has proven its power. God has proven its majesty. I mean, old sinners have been saved, old drunks on the street. I mean, people whose life is destroyed in drugs and every other kind of sin and dredge of this life. I mean, their life's been changed. Now they're sitting on a pew. They're raising their hands saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Hallelujah. We have more sure word of prophecy. Let me say this in context. This word is more sure if there was a voice to come out of the air. So let me say this. If we're sitting here and all of a sudden you hear some voice come out of the air and it says something contrary to this word or something in addition to this word. In other words, it's not captured in the context of this scripture. This word is to be trusted more than that voice. Now do you understand how important this the good old King James Bible is? You understand why people down through the ages, as it was translated into English, as it was given throughout the world and everywhere else, people have been willing to die. I mean, to be burned at the stake, to be hung, to be beheaded. I mean, we still got Christians dying. We don't hear about it here much in America. They're being beheaded daily almost by these fables called religions. What's it going to cost you and I when we take our stand? Just think about that now. What's it going to cost you and I when we take our stand? The preacher before me asked if anybody here is in the military. I did, and other folks raised their hand in here. I was willing to die for my country. I've been in those places where you're sitting there saying, what's going to happen here? If this thing escalates, they say, you know, I was on a ship pulled up in the Persian Gulf, and they say if this thing escalates, you know, if ships truly come under attack, they give them a life expectancy of usually a few minutes. If they're under full-blown attack, I said, what are you going to do? I was going to fight till the end. So let me say this. If I was willing to do that, as we call it, Uncle Sam, United States of America, if I was willing to do that for the American as a citizen, what should I do to the one that paid my sins price? What would you give for the one who paid it all and done it all and made everything that you and I have as saints of God possible, that took away our sins and not just took away our sins but gave us eternal life? What would you do? I don't have any limits on what I would do. I'll be honest with you. I would do whatever I have to do to defend God and stand for Him. And when I think about that, I think, God, it'll be your decision what price I pay for that. But I cannot deny Him. I like what Peter said. when some of them had went back, Jesus turned to those, the very few that was left there, he said, "Are you going to go back also?" I like what he said. To whom are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Now, let that soak in just a little bit. You think about it, right? Where am I going to go back that way? There ain't nobody out. I'm right here beside Jesus. I'm right here with Jesus. And where am I going to go back there? You're going to go back to some good time in your childhood. You're going to go back to some enjoyable time. I got news for you. That'll pass just like it has. Right here is eternal life. Right here in Jesus Christ is hope. Right here is everything that is important, of value, that matters in Jesus Christ. I can't go back. There's no going back. Everything is in Him. Everything is in Him. We've got a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So let me add this to it while we... You beat me to it, Brother Harvey. As Christians, we are so strong on presenting our understanding. Don't get me wrong, I think we ought to reason together. I really believe sometimes when we have all-day camp meetings, it'd be good. We had enough wisdom and stuff and character about us that we'd appoint an hour every day and maybe have a subject that we're going to discuss. And you say, why? Because there's some in the circle right here that can speak very wisely on some things that others who's young in the ministry or young in the Lord that needs to hear about, in a place that you ask questions and that you reason it out and that you say, well, here's what I think. And there's no shame in saying, here's what I think or here's what I understand. And then somebody will take that and they'll say, that's very accurate. But also, this goes with it and this goes with it and this goes with it. Because I tell you what we've got. Just travel around. Let me get the evangelist back up here. As they travel around, you go to this church and they believe this and you know it's not where it needs to be. It's not that they're not saved. It's not that they don't love God. They just don't. They're not where the Bible teaches the complete sound doctrine. And I wished somehow, and I just realized we're in a jubilee. I wasn't throwing this at me. I'm just telling you, I've been to camp meetings for 25, 30 years, and very little opportunity to have a good reasoning time together. A lot of times you'll get a little group over here, three or four folks, and they'll be discussing something wonderful. I was watching last night as I thought everybody was gone, and y'all was sitting back here in the fellowship. I said, they're tied in on something in there real good. And I liked it. I thought we was the last ones here, brother. And it was after 11 o'clock. But we act like, well, whatever you believe, that's fine. Whatever I believe, there's one interpretation. There's one right division. There's one sound doctrine. Right? There's one sound doctrine, complete teaching on that subject. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved. So let me say this. I'm going to repeat something here. We've not followed cunningly devised fables. We have the Word of God. Now, if you will, turn back to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. These are the two verses God's put on my heart, and like I said, I just want to encourage you. I'm not trying to speak anything new. Maybe you haven't figured me out. I'm not trying to speak anything new. I think if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. God's gave us His Word, and it's been established forever. We got a copy of it here. If you found your place in 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, I hope I said 2 Timothy a second ago, chapter number 1. So let's begin reading in verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now he's referring to God calling men of God into the ministry and the presbytery, those men who would lay their hands and send them out from a local church. Boy, if we could get that doctrine down. I mean, I've had Bible. I mean, I'm not going to mention the college. It has nothing to do upon the college. I just think it's the focus of people going to get an education. They're sitting here in a Bible-believing church, and they just walk out the door because they're supposedly a preacher. I'm going to go out and just start a church. Well, why don't you do that from this church? Why don't you let us help you? Why don't you let us equip you? Why don't you let us... No, I got to do my own thing. That's where we're at, right? I thought we were part of one body. I really did. I thought we were part of one body laboring together. I was sharing with Brother Wells yesterday in some fellowship back here in the hallway, and it was Brother Bob Patton I was preaching. We act like the evangelist is one person in the body of Christ and the pastor is another person in the body of Christ. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that we're both positions of bishops, right? They're both bishops in the New Testament church. Now, if you don't understand that, go back and realize that Judas was a bishop and he failed by sin, transgression. And another had to take... So even an apostle is a bishop. So don't just apply Timothy and Titus and these other scriptures to pastors and teachers only. They apply to the evangelist, they apply to the apostle, they apply to all four gifts to the church. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. They all apply to that. I know we've got limited understanding and all mixed ideas on that, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. They're all the office of a bishop. And as we sit here today, the apostle has ceased. The prophets have completed their work. We have two offices left working in the body of Christ. The evangelist, the pastor and teacher. And it ain't one's up here and one's down here. They're working together. I walked in here and I seen all the evangelists ahead and I said, amen. I mean, they're not second class servants of God. And they don't bow down to us pastors. Amen, Brother Mike. Amen. Hallelujah. They don't bow down. We labor together. I know I'm preaching in some tough things, but I'm telling you, I don't believe you disbelieve me. We just don't say it enough. They're not, I don't look at these evangelistic missionaries who's going out here and, I mean, their whole family goes with them and they make sacrifice. They move away from everything they know and get to know people and get to know a culture and tell them about Jesus Christ. And I know just as was said yesterday, God will do it all over the world. It's not two or three. It's one church, one body of Christ, one founder. I mean, His name is Jesus Christ. It's not cunningly devised fables. It's not made up by the personality of some pastor or some preacher. It's made up in a person and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Now, God's telling us, He said, I'm going to put you in remembrance. That you stir up the gift of God. For those men here who've been called and are approved according to the Scripture, you've got a gift in you. Given to you by God. You've got to stir that up. In other words, you've got to keep it working. You've got to keep it moving forward. You've got to keep it faithful. You've got to keep that gift and that will of God in your life working. And he said, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear. In this day, are we afraid of what's going up down the highway? I think we have to be honest. We're a little afraid of what's coming next. We're afraid of what's going to happen in politics. We're afraid of what's going to happen in our state. We're afraid of what's going to happen in our county. Let me say this. Kick all that aside. What about what's happening inside the church? What about us adopting the practices and the ideology and the patterns and the look-alike of everything that's going on here in the world? These preachers, I'm telling you, like the preacher said it real well a minute ago, you could have stopped a minute ago and it's been a great meeting. Like I said, maybe I'm going sideways on the, but I'm just telling you right now, I think if we're real honest, we've got some fears about things. And God says we shouldn't be fearing them. We should be fighting them, as it was already touched on. We should be fighting them with this Word of God. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you're loving that abominable creature, are you going to compromise truth? Or are you going to speak truth in love? See, there's, you want to know a battle? To be loving and still be truthful versus hateful, condescending, and giving up. That's the challenge when you face some of the people. A man that's dressed as a woman. A sodomite. And people who don't know what gender they are. We're facing that. It's growing. It's increasing. It's real. We can act like we don't want to mention, but I'm telling you, it is very real. It's very much happening. And the speech and the words that you and I speak, if we don't stand up, pretty soon it's going to be viewed as hate speech, and me and you'll be preaching to one another from a prison cell. Now, I don't say that to make you scared. I say I don't know if I'm going to go gently into that good night. That's my decision. I don't. When they come to my house knocking, I've already drawn one line. If they come to my house knocking on my door, I'll not be like Lot was. You understand? I won't meet them with their friendly little smile. Don't be this way, brethren. That'd probably be the day you'll hear a news report. Preacher dies as they come to arrest him for this terrible hate crime. I'm just telling you. Unless God changes me when they come to my door, I'm going to try to defend my family, protect my home. I believe God's gave me that as a man. I'm going to do that. You've got to find where you're going to stand. Now I think about that. That's not a pretty sign. I've got some grandchildren. I've got some grandchildren that really depend on Nanny and Papaw to be there. They need somebody to point them to God and lead them and show them. I've got some people that need to hear a preacher stand in the pulpit and preach the truth. He's not given us a spirit of fear. I'm telling you, when you find yourself getting worried about what's going on out here, realize that's not where God wants our mindset. He don't want us biting our nails and twirling our hair and getting worried about all how bad it's getting out here. He wants us to have wisdom about us. He wants us to have knowledge that we can face that with the truth. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We talked about a testimony a minute ago, right? That testimony of Jesus ought to be in our life. Nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What about that? Anybody heard a prosperity preacher nowadays? Well, God saved you. He wants you to be a millionaire in a bit. Well, I'm still waiting on mine, okay? But I'll take it if it comes in. I'm serious now. Two people have approached me saying they're going to give me millions of dollars. I'm serious as serious. You can tell I'm still holding my breath, right? Maybe you've had that happen. I'm just still holding my breath. I said, well, that'd just be great. I'll put it to good use if you do. And I just go right on. But they tell me like, oh, it's just going to happen anytime. And I hope it does. That'd be great. I mean, God can use that money. But these afflictions, that's where, I don't know about anybody else. That's where my life in Christ has been. Where the religion is gathered around and spoke against you and they go behind, very seldom have they ever, unless they get a group up. And let me say, I'm not talking about three or four. They gotta have 25, 50, 75, and when I say a group, when they're gonna take on a child of God all by himself. They gotta have a big group. And they come against you and they oppose you and you stand and you sit there and speak the truth. And when they're done, they ain't got anything to say except we just don't like you. We don't like what you say. I say amen to that. God knows it. I knew it. That's afflictions. You're going to face them when you stand for this truth. You know, one of the religious crowd in this day, this is what they say to us. They say, well, Jesus is a God of love. I just don't believe he's that way. Don't go read the Gospel of John because about chapter number 5, every chapter after that until he laid down his life, they sought to kill him, stone him, or slay him because they didn't like what he said. I actually measure the success of my ministry if everybody likes me or not. I want to be like Jesus. I don't think I'm doing too good if everybody's patting me on the back when I get out of the pulpit. Somewhere I miss the mark. What am I looking for? The applause of men? I'm not looking for the applause of men. I'm not even looking for... Now let me say this. I want friends. I need friends. I appreciate friends. I love the brethren. I love the body of Christ. I love a church where you can go in and all these preachers you've had, they'll stand up and they'll preach the Word of God. But let me say this. I'm not looking just for me and you to have a relationship. I'm looking for the power and the presence of God. I'm looking for the truth to be lifted up just like it has here in all these sermons and all these places. But there's afflictions that come with this gospel according to the power of God. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But it's now manifest. In other words, it's been revealed. He's been revealed. The mystery of godliness. Does anybody know who God is? I'm going to let that soak in. I like to ask this question anymore. I found out for the past few years, and I ask you quite often, do you know who God is? Let me give you His full name. The Lord Jesus Christ. In Him dwells the Father. In Him dwells the Holy Ghost. And He is the Son of God. He's our Savior. If in the past 100 years, it was clearly understood 100 years ago, but somewhere we stopped preaching about Jesus being God because we thought everybody knew it. I'm just telling you, ask your church folks if they understand Jesus is more than the Savior. If He's more than the Lamb of God. That He's more than the sacrifice of God. Ask them if they understand He is God. And let me say this. Not, here's the Father, and here's the Son, and here's the Holy Ghost. The pecking order. The Bible says He's equal. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Those three are equal. Right? I'm telling you. If you don't care, we'll get something in our mind that's not scriptural, it's not in the right order. And our people need to understand, we're not following cunningly devised fables. We're following a Savior who is God manifest in the flesh, that we can know who this God is that created everything, created you and I, laid down His life on a cross that we could be saved. The same God that laid on that cross is the same God that said, let there be light. It's the same God that cast the stars out there. The same God that put the spin on this earth. It's not any different. He's the same one. But now made manifest in the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto, now I'm going to put me in here. Whereunto am I appointed a preacher, a pastor, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now this was Paul writes to Timothy, and he's an apostle. But if you're a man of God that has a gift of God, I think you ought to be able to say who you are. You might say, I'm appointed a preacher, an evangelist, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this, it says, for which cause I suffer these things. Now, we know Paul was appointed unto suffering. But let me say this. If you stand for the truth, you're going to suffer. I think you're going to suffer loss of folks you'd hope to be a friend to. Some of the hardest things I face is folks that I sat in church with for 3, 4, 5 years, and all of a sudden, wow, Brother Mike, I don't want you and your wife talking to my wife no more about modest apparel. And they get mad. Now, I'm just telling you, I've just got meaner than a junkyard dog. You get mad, and when I'm preaching in the pulpit, I'll just repeat it, tell it again. It's in the Bible. It's real. It's necessary. There's a reason for it. Brother Mike, we're going to go somewhere else, and you can just fill in the blank. It's some offense at the truth. They get offended at the truth. And let me say this. Many times I'll think about the good times we had and the life we shared, and I miss. If you think I'm happy about that, you're misunderstanding my statement. The only thing I'm going to repeat, there's nothing good about this old boy, but there's some good about this truth right here. It's sure. It's sure. It's accurate. It is the truth. He said, I suffer thee. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. He said this, and I'm getting ready to close. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, do you know whom you believe? His name is Jesus Christ. He's God. You say, who was it that was manifest there, visible in the garden, walking with Adam and Eve? That was Christ. He is the visible, physical manifestation of God. Who was that up there talking with Abraham on the mountain? That was Jesus. Who was that in the burning, fiery furnace? You ever wonder how King knew Him? You're going to know Him. I got news. This old world who never trusted Him for salvation, When he comes back in the future riding on a white horse, they're going to know who he is. They're going to recognize our Savior. He's not coming back to lay down. He's already laid down and paid that price for the whole world. And they either accept or reject their choices in this life. But when he comes back, I'm going to say, I know in whom I have believed. He's the one. He showed up in many places in many ways and done many wonderful things. But he was born of a virgin and walked on this earth for a little over 30 years. He laid down his life on a cross for you and I, every person in this building, that we could be saved. Have you trusted him? You know who he is? Are you persuaded? I think faith and trust is two big words that sometimes we come up short as Christians. God's already told us, and we hesitate at it. We're reluctant at it. We say, I know God says it, but how do I practice it? How do I get it accomplished in my life? Just trust God. Those two got to go together. You say, well, faith is taking this word of God and putting it in practice in your life. But trusting God is, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust God. He said he would. Can you believe that he is? I'm glad I know him. I'm glad he saved me. I'm glad it's not a cunningly devised fable. And I'm glad that we can say, I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. God bless you.